wonderful fellowship with you. Lord, we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Now to a time of scripture reading. Scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." This is the word of God. All right, please be seated and put our hands together for Pastor Alan.
Hallelujah. This will be my first and last sermon, probably until May. Thank God for the opportunity to be able to speak His word and share what, you know, insights with all of you. It's such a pleasure. It's such a good thing. Right? Sometimes in life, you know, have you ever wondered and asked yourself, what on earth am I doing here? How many of you have asked yourself this question? What on earth am I doing here? Do you know your purpose? Do you know why God put you here on earth? There is a reason, okay? As we hear today's sermon, I hope that your heart will be open and aligned with the Word of God. Let us pray for a moment. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for your Word. Father Lord, we ask that you examine our hearts, put away all distractions that we have, so that we may concentrate and hear your Word, and not only hear, but also act on it and obey it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have you ever invited the pastors to your home for dinner? Anyone of you? Not yet, huh? Okay. I'm open for invitation. So a pastor, the story was told about a pastor who invited, a couple in the church invited the pastor to their home for dinner. So they brought up their best chanji, the cutlery, the silver spoon and all. So they were having a good dinner. And at the end of the dinner, the wife said, "Hey, one of my silver spoon is missing. I think the pastor stole my silver spoon." Yeah. This congregation member don't trust the pastor. And she was so angry, she was so worked up the whole year. "I can't find my silver spoon. Where is it? That pastor, how could he does such a thing? Doesn't he know that thou shalt not steal, you know, the commandment?" So the next year, they invited the same pastor again to their home. So this wife could not stop herself from asking. He said, "Pastor, can I ask you a question?" Yeah, please. "Did you steal my spoon last year?" And the pastor was shocked and said, no, I didn't steal your spoon. I put it inside your Bible." So what is the moral of this story? Yeah? Find the spoon in your Bible so that you can feed your spirit. Amen? Yeah, it's such a good story, I thought. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So as we start this year, I hope that all of us begin to set some priority. All right, we are living in such a hectic, and is this on? Sorry. Yeah, we are living in such a hectic world today, right? Everybody is so busy. So without setting a priority, we will find ourselves driven by what is urgent instead of what is purposeful. Without priority, we will find ourselves very busy, yet unfruitful at the end of the day. Yeah. So setting a priority this year, start of 2026, is important. All of you, some of you are schooling. There are so many things you could do. You must set priority. But then again, not only setting priority is important, setting the right priority is also very, very important. A burglar has two priorities. You know what they are? A burglar. You know what a burglar is? Someone who is Spider-Man who climbs up into your house. His first priority is to steal your thing, break into your home. His second priority is that he will not meet a policeman. Right? But that's priority as well, but that is not the right priority. So when we choose the right priority, then we align our life to the divine order, what God has ordered us to, how we should be living, okay? So in the midst of the complexity of life, Jesus himself identified two priorities that all human beings must follow. Firstly is this, seek first the kingdom of God. This is the verse that we read earlier on in Matthew 6:33. And the second priority, thank you, is that seek his righteousness. This is a priority for all human beings. Now, seeking first, what does it mean to seek first? This is not just a good suggestion that Jesus gives you. The trouble with many Christians is that when we read the Bible, we thought it's a good suggestion from a friend. No, it is a commandment. Everybody say commandment. Commandment. It's a commandment, right? It's not a mere suggestion. A command to live aligned to the will of God, to the purpose of God. That's the reason why you are here on earth, right? It's not a casual concern or an occasional devotion. Or suddenly if you spend 1 week, you know, studying the Bible, fellowshipping with God and praying. It's not about that. The word seek here means intention, with great intention, with great discipline and sustained pursuit. By the way, are any of you feeling very dry in the spiritual life right now? You say, I've been coming to church, but I don't feel that I'm growing. Anyone of you felt that way? If you felt that way, perhaps you have not been seeking God with all your heart, soul, and mind. God said, if you seek me with all your heart and all your mind, I will be found by you. So if you are not growing your spiritual life and you feel dry, you know, dragging your feet to church and all, then perhaps you need to check your devotional life. Are you seeking God with all your heart, soul, and mind? Now, the priority of God's kingdom is so important that it should be the governing principle of our life. It should be our main focus, all right? Now, let's look at the first priority, seeking first the kingdom of God. God's priority is to advance his kingdom and impose rule on earth. God already has a king and a kingdom in where? In heaven. His priority, his intent, his purpose is to rule earth as it is in heaven. All right? So that's the priority of God. His intention is to bring the invisible kingdom of God to visible earth. All right? And how does he do it? Later on, we'll find out who will rule this kingdom. Okay? Okay? Now, when the culture of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, is realized on earth, what will happen is his culture, his character, his moral, his purpose will be manifested here on earth. That's why when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, how did Jesus teach them to pray? He said, your kingdom come, your will be done in heaven as it is on earth. So God's priority is very clear. If that is God's priority, that also should be our priority. Amen? Yeah. Now, the term, the kingdom of God, is used over 100 times in the New Testament. And if you study the scripture, you'll see that the teaching, the preaching of Jesus is always about the kingdom of God. Let us look at some of this scripture, okay? Mark 1:14-15. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, at the time when John the Baptist was in prison, all right, the Apostle Mark wrote this down for us. Can we read this together? Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom, saying, this the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. All right? So we can see from scripture, the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, he said, the kingdom of God is my priority and also should be your priority. Now, in Luke 4, Jesus made it very clear explicitly the reason why God sent him to earth. He knew. He has his purpose statement, his mission statement was this. Let's read this together in verse 43. 1, 2, 3. He said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God because for this purpose I have been sent. Right? So God's purpose is very clear, very explicit. His mission statement is that I come, you know, not to make you happy or what. I come to bring the kingdom of heaven down here on earth. Right? So Jesus' purpose, priority, and intent is to preach the kingdom of God. The message of the kingdom of God is central in Jesus' message. You know, these are only a few of the verses. There are many verses that talk about the kingdom of God. It's central to humanity. It's central to you and to me. Because when we find and put the kingdom of God first, your life will be transformed, I tell you. You'll live with the purpose, live with zeal, and live with passion. And you know where you are heading for. That's why the kingdom of God is so important. And right, so if such a message is so important to Jesus, it must be our number one focus here on earth as well. Right? So let's go on. And Acts 1:3, after Jesus was resurrected, he spent 40 days together with his disciples. And what was he teaching them? Let's read this. 1, 2, 3. Jesus presented himself to them and gave many convincing proof that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about what? The kingdom of God again. Over and over in scripture, you'll find the stress, the emphasis of Jesus is about God's kingdom, right? And the disciples took the message that Jesus taught them seriously. So that when Paul, the famous apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, whenever he goes to a synagogue, he will preach this. Acts 19:8. Let's read together. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about what? The kingdom of God again. And in his last goodbye to the officious elders, after being there for two over years, again he said, preaching the kingdom of God. So from just 4 or 5 verses here, you can see the emphasis is on the kingdom. Now, you may ask, why must I seek the kingdom of God first? Why can't I seek my own ambition first? Why can't I seek, you know, everything else first? Why can't I enjoy my life first? Yeah? Yeah. Now, without the purpose of God, without seeking his kingdom first, you will be drawn by other priorities, right? The priority of the earth, the seeking for fame, beauty, pride, and all these things will be your priority without it. Now, once the kingdom of God is your priority, it will totally transform your life. You'll see things clearer. Right, you know where your life is heading. And when we do that, when we seek the kingdom of God first, in other words, it means that I'm living in the will of God. Just now, Romans 12:2 said, the will of God is good and it is perfect. That also means that I am now walking in the destiny of God. How many of you would like to walk in the destiny of God? How many of you know that God has a purpose for your life? All of you see that here. Each of you has a specific gifting and specific gift that God has given you to live it out for his glory. All right? So, first thing is that because you transform our life, secondly, we will be walking, living in the destiny of God, in his will and in his purpose. And it's a beautiful thing, a wonderful thing to be living in the center of God's will. Amen. What impact do we have when the kingdom of God is our first pursuit? Firstly, your work, your school, all right? Now, some of us dread going to work, okay? I hate my work, I hate my boss, I hate my colleagues, and all these things. But when you realize, when you pursue the kingdom of God first, you will find out your work is not a drudgery. Your work is a vocation. Your work is a calling from God. God has called you to such a place, such a school, to be a witness for him. Yeah? So that's one thing. Secondly, our workplace is transformed. Okay? Your workplace is transformed. You, as a child of God, have the power to change your environment. You do not like the environment, the culture of your place, go to your room and pray. and change the environment and transform your colleague, transform your bosses who may be difficult. Prayer changes things. Yeah? So the workplace is also a place whereby God is honing your character, shaping you, refining you, chipping off all those things that doesn't look like Jesus. Right? So first thing, your work become a vocation, a calling. Secondly, your workplace become a place whereby God can use you, hone you, and prepare you for greater things. Thirdly, the workplace and campus become your pulpit. Not necessarily here. There are certain places that pastors and leaders cannot go into, but you have an influence, all of you, in your with your classmates. Today, I'm so glad that Rachel brought Shana, all right, and Albert brought Marcus. Yeah, you know what they are doing? They are extending the kingdom of God. They are advancing the kingdom of God, and that's what they're doing. So their workplace become your pulpit, all right? So every one of you, treat your workplace as a place where God is honing your character. Take your workplace as a place whereby you are transformed by God, and take your workplace as your pulpit. How wonderful. Every one of you is a priest. That's what the book of Peter said, right? You're the priesthood of God. So you have influence, right? Amen. You know, Jesus told a story in Matthew 13 about the kingdom of God. He said the kingdom of God is like a yeast that a woman is doing, and the yeast was put into the dough. How many of you love roti prata? Some of you. Have you seen the dough that they need? It's a big dough, right? Yeah. But the yeast is very small. The yeast works quietly, silently. But when the yeast is done with the dough, the whole dough is transformed. A few years ago, I went to my daughter's place in the States, and she loved to make bread. I said, "What's this?" I saw it for the first time, the yeast. It's just a tiny little bit of thing. I said, what do you do this for? Is it put in the dough? Right? The dough was flat. But when the yeast went into the dough, and then after that you put it in the oven, the whole dough raised up. The dough laughed at the yeast. He said, "You must be kidding. You're just a small little thing. You want to transform me?" The dough was laughing at the yeast, but the yeast said quietly, "When I'm done with you, you are mine." That's what you all are. God has called you to be yeast in your workplace, in your campuses, in your offices, right? Work quietly. Refine. How do God use us? He uses us by working excellently in whatever God put you to do, right? Then you become a witness for God. In the way you relate to your classmate, your kindness, your helpfulness, relating with your colleagues and your bosses, are ways that God is refining us. You are to be the yeast. Tell your neighbor, you are the yeast that God wants to use. You are the yeast that God wants to use. Amen. How about our family? Our family too will be impacted when we make the kingdom of God first. Right? Firstly, is that when Christ is the center of our family, there is family orders. Right now, the devil is attacking the family most. Most families that I know of are having problems. Either being that the husband not being responsible or the children being rebellious and all. But when kingdom of God comes into you, when your first pursuit is the kingdom of God, there you find family order. All right? So the kingdom culture of love, kindness, gentleness, you know, is the guiding principle for you in how you run your family with your spouses and with your children. And there is a very great impact if fathers and husbands know how to love their wife tenderly, considerably, right? Your children will see that, and they will grow up to be like you as well, right? So parents also will bring up the children in a loving and godly manner. This is the way when we seek the kingdom of God first. Okay? Now, how about your fears and anxiety? How many of you sometimes, you know, you panic, you know, when you are in a certain situation, you say, oh, oh God, you know, I can't do that. This situation is too overwhelming for me. But when the kingdom of God comes into your life, you know, all your fears and anxiety will lose its grip on you. Okay? Why? Because the king has promised you that you will never be alone. The king said to you that I will always be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So when you are feeling anxious, when you are feeling fearful, what do? Scripture tells us to be prayerful, to praise him, to worship him, to find scriptures for your situation so that you can shift your anxiety from the problem that you are feeling, feeling and fearing to God, the sovereign God. And when that happens, peace and love will come into your midst. Amen. And when the kingdom of God is your first priority, Scripture tells us you do not have to worry what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear, because the Father knows that you need these things. He will provide. If you are his child, he will take care of you. All right? Yeah. Okay? So also remember, when you are facing challenges in life, adversities in life, remember this, God is sovereign. He, whatever happened to you, whatever adversities you are feeling, God sees you fit to be able to carry the burden. These are faith lessons. Adversities are given to us to draw us nearer to God and to build our faith. Amen. So don't be so afraid of adversities. Adversities come, pray. Praise him, serve him. Yeah. And then, you know, you will overcome it by and by. All right? The lesson here is that God wants to draw you closer to himself. Amen. So the next impact that we have is that when the kingdom of God is our first pursuit, we will change our perspective. We will change from a secular, worldly perspective whereby we chase after gold, glory, and girls, you know, into chasing the purpose of God. When that happened, when the kingdom of God is your first pursuit, your worldly perspective is transformed to a biblical kingdom perspective. And that will in turn bring clarity and purpose to your life. You'll see everything clearly. Oh Lord, I know why you put me here on earth, to be an east, to influence your kingdom, to advance your kingdom here on earth. Right? Clarity. I know what I must do next. I know how I must equip myself, firstly in my studies, and then, Lord, I must also read your scripture so that I know your good and perfect will for me. Clarity. Everything is clear when that happens. All right, now, instead of chasing after all these three G's, okay, gold, glory, and girls, no, you will now choose the poverty of spirit. Why? Because scripture says, to such belongs the kingdom of God. I'd rather be poor in my spirit, knowing my need for God, seeking after him, than chasing after all these things, all right? Instead of chasing after power, I will choose the purpose of God. Why? Because real joy, real fulfillment in your life comes only when you are walking in the will of God and doing his purpose. That's real joy. I've been walking with the Lord for nearly 25 years now, and it's the best thing I ever. If I were to live my life again, I would serve him earlier. Yeah? Yeah, amen. All right? So 25 years ago, I made that decision. Say, Lord, I will serve you. Yeah? And my friends and my parents as well thought that I was crazy. Yeah, I was the senior manager of a company then, you know, drawing a good salary. He said, why are you giving up all these things to serve a poor carpenter? But deep in my heart, I know that God has called me. I know that following him is the right thing to do. I tell you, when the end of my life is done here, the reward that I will receive is out of this world. Literally. Amen. So if you are thinking about going full-time serving God, Don't hesitate anymore. Make that decision, say, if there's a calling for you. But not all are called to full-time ministry. All right, you grow and you be an impact where you are. All right, you don't have to change your occupation. If you are a teacher, all right, the way you treat your students, the way you teach them, the way you relate to your principal and your vice principal and your colleague, all what you are doing are witnessing for God, being a good testimony for Him. All right, so let's read Colossians 3:2 to yourself. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, set your things on heaven. Amen. Second priority is seeking God's righteousness. Yeah. But none of us can be children of God. None of us will seek His will unless you have the nature of God in you. Unless you become the righteousness of God. Okay? You wouldn't obey. You say, why should I? Right? Unless and until you become the righteousness of God. When you have the righteousness of God, you have the nature of God. Right? And then sin will not have a hold on you. You have power over sin. You have the power to say no to sin. Okay? And you will naturally, because the Spirit in you is renewing you day by day, you will seek His kingdom first, right? Instead of other things. Now, the greatest thing that hinders us from becoming the righteousness of God is sin. It's sin. Yeah. And there's only one possible solution to sin. What is it? The only possible solution for sin is that Jesus becomes our Lamb of God. Jesus lived a perfect life, a righteous life, a sinless life, but He died the worst kind of death in crucifixion. You know, crucifixion is reserved for the worst criminal. And even criminal, when they are crucified, they are not nailed to the cross. They are only tied with ropes on the cross, all right, and hanging there. But in the case of Jesus, not only was He scourged, whipped 39 times, that His flesh was torn up, torn away. Nails that are 6 to 8 inches long are pierced into His wrist, not the palm, His wrist. And the impact of that is that His tendons were torn. That means he has no ability to breathe. The only way that He can breathe is with His back. He has to arc his back just to catch a breath. And He hung there for 3 hours. So as He was walking to Calvary, the crowd shouted at Him, spat at Him, threw stone at Him. And the cross is about 30 kilograms heavy. He had to walk 2 kilometers from Jerusalem to Calvary, to where He was. Why did He suffer such thing? So that He can open the gates of heaven, that you may enter to become His children of God, His righteousness. That's what the Lord did for you. Why do I serve God? Because He loved me so much. Why do I love God? Because He gave and paid for my sins. He overpaid for my sins. Am I worth it? No, Lord, I'm not worth it. I don't know why You do it. And that's why we call it amazing grace. Yeah. Yeah. The road of a disciple, the road to sonship and becoming a daughter of God, is a straight and narrow path. Okay? We have to walk through, and the door is small. So what we need to do is that not all of you will become disciples of Jesus, and that's a fact. It's easier to become a believer instead of a disciple. 信徒, be 门徒, easy. It's easier to be a believer. I'm just a believer. I come on Sunday, sing a few songs, tithe, do a bit of duty, and that's it, I go home. But discipleship is going to cost you. Discipleship is going to cost you. And thereby, as I head to Indonesia after Chinese New Year, I know that I'm entering into a place where there are many Muslims and some of them are fanatics. So I covered your prayer for me and my wife as we go to minister there. And then I asked Pastor Tong whether there's any danger. He said, sure, you have the danger. Don't worry, he said, if you die, I'll die with you. I said, I don't want to die, I want to live. I said, what happened? He said, you know, there was a time when those Muslim fundamentalists rushed into the meeting and put a parang in his neck. He said, you orang Cina, how dare you open a church here in this Muslim country? I said, how do you get away? And then he said, it was near Ramadan. So he said, okay, this is what I know. I'm fearful of my life. I want to live. I don't want to die. Why don't you make a compromise? I will buy, it's Ramadan, I'll buy gifts to your congregation to settle the issue. Yeah. So, do I go with gung-ho-ness? No. With fear and trembling, but also at the same time, trusting that my life belongs to Him. Yeah. And that's what we are called to do. So you do not have to go full time, as per se. The calling of a disciple is just to a call to obedience and a call to allegiance to your Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's the call of a disciple. But there's one rule that every Christian must keep, is to keep your heart open to the call of God. God may call you for a certain assignment, respond to Him. God may call you to full-time mass ministry, you know, respond to it as well. Leave room for Him to move. So what's the purpose of God for us and for this earth? The purpose of God is this, that, you know, He wants to bring His righteousness, His kingdom, His culture from heaven down to earth. And His plan is very simple. His plan is that His children, who are made righteous by Him, to rule and reign in this world. So all of you are created to rule and reign in this earth. Amen. You are a ruler. Tell your neighbor, you are a ruler. Yes, that's what you are. Yeah, you are a ruler. You are given the authority. Okay? So in Genesis 1:26, now we begin to see why God created man in His own image and in His own likeness. In Genesis 1:26, God created man for the purpose that His children will be able to rule and reign over earth. That is His duty. So when God created Adam in His own likeness and image, He also gave him the authority to rule over the earth. Did Adam pass the assignment? Yameo? No, he failed miserably. So the authority that was given him was transferred to Satan. And because of that, God has to send Jesus, the second Adam. What is his aim and what is his purpose is to restore God's kingdom here on earth. Secondly, is to restore the rightful authority to you and to me. Many of us say, I'm afraid of the devil. You are not ruling and reigning if you are afraid of him. Yeah, you are called to rule and reign over the circumstances in your life. You are called to rule and reign and resist the devil so that he will flee from you. Amen. So that's your duty. Know who you are. Know your identity. You are king. You are princesses and prince of the Most High God. You have given the authority. God has given you the authority to rule and to reign over every circumstances in your life. All right? So, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the Great Commission. This is the kingdom of God. You are put here to advance God's kingdom here on earth. The more we populate this earth with Christians, you know what you're doing? You are advancing the kingdom of God. The more people you bring to fill up this place, you know what you're doing? You are the East. You are fulfilling the will of God. Amen. And that's how we populate heaven, by snatching people from hell to populate earth with God's righteousness and His people. But how do we do that first? Firstly, we prioritize time with God. The first thing you do in the morning is not to think about, is not to scroll your phone. It's not to think what to eat for breakfast. The first thing you should do is to spend a moment with God and ask God, what's your assignment for me today? What can I learn from your scripture today? Prioritize time with God. That's why we have the Bible reading plan. Don't neglect the word of God because it's your life. Secondly, seek his guidance. Whenever you have a critical decision to make, even big or small decision, seek him first. Seek him first. Ask God, what do you want me to do? Which direction should I take? Grant me wisdom to make that kind of decision. Thirdly, serve others. Because in serving others, in the rubbing of characters, okay, you learn how to grow. God is honing you, shaping you, refining you, molding you. And fourthly, share your faith. Share your faith. Yeah, because we need to advance the kingdom of God here on earth for him. So that's your purpose for life. Now, when every one of us is seeking the kingdom first, the peace on earth and goodwill to man that was first announced by the angel at the birth of Jesus can become a reality. Secondly, right, weapons are reshaped. The plowshares and the hooks will be reshaped into farming tools. Yeah, and there will be peace on earth. War will give way to peace. Thirdly, there will be unity among God's people. No more gossip. No more backbiting. No more self-interest. But only love and obedience and peace. And last of all nations will rise and praise the Lamb of God. And I want to read this in the book of Revelation to you. It's such a beautiful verse. And then all nations will join as one, lifting their voices to declare, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever when we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for inviting us into your kingdom and calling us to be your sons and daughters. As we begin this year anew, help us to live as your children, reflecting your righteousness and advancing your kingdom here on earth. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name, and we say, Amen, Amen. Can I invite all of you to stand as we respond to this message. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness.